hey there, it's Darren Moll here. Welcome to Darren's Decade Podcast. In this 10-part series, you can meet some of the people that have been a part of my life in the past decade, people that have influenced me, people that I might have influenced, and a couple of the sordid stories from my long-distant past. It is available on all major podcast platforms and on our website, ecr.co.za. Just search Darren's Decade. So if you're looking for somebody to blame for the fact that not only is Darren on Breakfast Radio, but Darren on Breakfast Radio on East Coast Radio, Darren has been doing it for a decade, you can go to the source. Naveen Singh, my old program manager who made the call to put me in this position, has a few words.
Over the last decade, Darren's met some awesome people. In this 10-part podcast series, Darren has open, honest, sometimes deep, sometimes hilarious conversations with them.
So you get to have a bird's eye view of how a breakfast show host on a premium radio station gets selected. Naveen Singh, the original program manager for the Breakfast Stack.
Boy, put a pin George, in that. Was that what it was called?
Yeah.
And I was came very up with upset. That name?
You.
Oh, goodness. Can never be.
You, Trish, George, a whole bunch of people in a brainstorm said, okay, we have to come up with a name. And you threw out my name.
What do you mean?
You said our audience couldn't handle that name, the name for the show.
What was that?
Morning Glory.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible. That was I still maintain it's
10
years later, I still think it's terrible.
Everyone knows Good Morning. It's it's standard. Uh-huh. So the mall thing stack. I'm telling you, Mall and Glory.
Did we have a feature? Mall and Glory?
No, that was Mall and Order or Mall Morning News.
Morning News, yeah. I remember we used it somewhere.
Yeah.
Forced it in.
And that was so here's the deal, right? This is what I want to know. Because when I was first approached, it was a phone call. Mm-hmm. I remember I just moved into some
shack,
some place, because I was recently separated. Mm-hmm. And I found a place to stay, and I didn't have any furniture, and I was out in the garden, and I got this call. I didn't really know East Coast Radio that well. I had no idea who Naveen Singh was. Mm-hmm. And you cold called me and I put you onto my new publicist. I just secured a publicist who then went on to become my personal manager for years.
Yeah.
She was a great call. And then she phones me back. I said to her, this guy from East Coast called me. I think they want some comedy content or something. I don't know. Just see what he wants. So she phones me back. She's like, are you sitting down? And I'm like, I'm lying down. Are you sitting now? They want you to be the breakfast show host on like literally one of the best radio stations in the country. Do they want me to go start radio with the intention of becoming a breakfast show host? They said, no. She's like, no. They want you to be. I was like, does he know I've never done radio? She's like, yeah. Is he legit? Is this a prank? Is he fooling around? What's going on? She's like, nope. This is 100% legit on the up and up. We got a few more interviews to go through and they want you to have this. She'd been my publicist for like 2 weeks. We were talking about theater gigs, mm-hmm. improv gigs, pressurizing Moonian Lee to get me into more castings, maybe some internationals, maybe going down to casting season down in Cape Town. That was all she was doing. And now she's got to look at contracts for
radio,
for the breakfast show host on East Coast Radio. This was a baptism of fire for her.
Well, if I go back there, so we were under pressure. We knew at that stage we needed to find somebody who could tell a story. Mm. We knew we needed to find somebody who could entertain. And here's a blast from the past for you. So Neville Pillay had your number because you guys did comedy together.
Yeah.
So he sent it to me and I said, all right, I must phone this guy. And I was now, to be honest, I'm scratching the bottom of the barrel because there's a range of people around who have been on radio for years.
Yeah.
And the more I heard them, the more I realized that they were just going to be another, that was a great song. What a wonderful world. It's just the big voice and nothing more. And there was, so we went through quite a process of looking and writing. It was a management.
But that's what Claire was explaining to me as well. I was like, I couldn't get my head around this. I'm like,
For everything that I've been booked for, and I was in high demand for ads and for improv comedy and as an MC for big comedy events. So that was my thing. And I couldn't get my head around why would someone want me for radio? And then I started listening to radio with a different ear. So I'm listening to radio in Joburg. I'm listening to national radio. I'm listening to international radio. And I'm like, the more I listen to radio people, I'm like, I think they've made a mistake. I don't have a radio voice. I don't know how to operate a desk. I thought you were like on drugs or something. Will you? You can tell the truth now. It was a decade ago.
Yeah, it's a decade. No, I wasn't. I was under serious pressure. I must be honest. It was tough at that time because we had to make a call. We needed East Coast to kind of shock the system both locally as a radio station and nationally because our national presence as East Coast was always very strong. And we needed to make sure that we had something we could rah-rah about. The previous breakfast show was just a fill-in, you know. It wasn't reaching the potential that I thought it could. And it put us under extreme pressure. And then, you know, being part of Kagiso Media, at that stage, the exec thought, you know what, you got to go and find somebody. Go and find somebody. Go to Bryce was one of the things they told me. Apparently, you find more people at Bryce. They're entertaining. They talk. They give a lot of stories.
You make mistakes. You should have gone play golf. Apparently, that's where you find everyone.
Yeah, apparently, I wasn't playing golf.
Are you playing golf now?
I'm playing golf now, yeah.
What do you play with?
Ball. Ball and stick. I really work hard at my golf, but I'm cuck.
No, I'm the same. Listen, as long as I'm better than Sky Shabalala, I'm fine.
How bad is he?
It's worse than me.
Oh, fantastic.
So I'm
fine. Play with you. We must do a three
ball. Play with him. We'll get you down to DCC straight after this. So, now, obviously, your first thing is now that I've lived and been in Durban for 10 years, by the way, what changes for me is that by living in Durban for 10 years, I've now lived here longer than I've lived anywhere else. So I can legitimately call Durban my home.
Right. Good one.
So now, but obviously when you're first searching it, now I know Durban. Durban is about Durban, for Durban, and all Durban.
You know, you used to come here and call us Kloof.
Yeah.
We're going to go up to the Kloof.
I couldn't understand why people would get up.
It's Kloof, you idiot.
there's traffic on Boerters Hill.
Both
is Hill, Darren. Both is Hill.
Yeah. And what was the other one? Was something else. But Kloof was the one that really stood out for me.
Yeah. So why didn't you, I mean,
let's look at the positives for a second. Why we made the call. You remember the story you did for me? It was about your daughter having a poo.
Oh, yeah.
You remember it?
Yes. Say. I do remember it. So my daughter only poos if I sing to her. So, and I found this out quite soon because I mean, she only sits still while changing the poo. Mm-hmm, right. To changing the nappy.
Yeah.
When I sing to her. And, she was getting bored of my songs. So I had to come up with a new song
every time.
Every single time. And, some of the songs I'm cursed. I can't remember the lyrics to songs. So I always just make them up.
So it was like, keep the tune.
Yeah. And I'm like, I made a girl and Bella is a name. When she was born, oh, my life's not been the same. 'Cause I love my girl. And I would sing that and I had several other songs in that repertoire. And then I said, the one thing that really, they say to you, they all tell you this at the antenatal classes, right? Never look surprised or shocked or, exclaim when they've dropped a bomb. Because it makes them feel bad.
Oh.
And then they don't
want to do it again.
They don't want to do it again because they don't want to disappoint you. So whenever you find a poo, you need to celebrate it.
Right.
And so the one time I opened this one, and it was a bomb. It was a bomb. I don't know what mom had given her. I think we just moved to solids. There was, when there's several colors in there, you just know.
I remember that line.
Yeah. You just know this is real. And then it was an assault. It was a nasal assault to my senses. And I did what was just humanly natural. I turned away and went, ew. But my training kicked in and I turned around and like within half a beat, what a poo. How does it feel now you soiled your drawers? What a poo. That was the story. Was that it?
And that was the link you sent me. That was a piece of recording you sent me. And we sat in the boardroom here and we listened to all the people that we were trying to cast for this role. And that one came up and that created the most amount of reaction from everybody.
Really?
And everyone went, he's talking about poo.
We don't do that on radio.
And he's having fun with it. And at that stage, it clicked in my head that there was something there.
Yeah. But now I wasn't the fly on the wall. How did you convince them that you could get that kind of storytelling out of me without talking about poo?
Well, I said the first thing is he can tell a bloody story.
Yeah.
You know, he can make it entertaining. And he can take you there. I mean, the whole thing about the colors, the whole thing about water poo. You know, it just felt very natural for you. Mm-hmm. And that was something in my ear that sounded, okay, we can work with this guy. Because it was where we wanted to go. We wanted that storytelling. We wanted people to kind of be engaged with every word that comes out. Your pacing of the story, the way you delivered it, it was very, very intimate. And it's an experience story. So, you know, if you can tell a good experience story, you just have to have lots of experiences.
Yeah.
That we can create.
Yeah.
And as long as you go, then you can be able to oralize it. Is that a word?
Orate. Vocalize? Oralize? Personification?
Okay, stop showing. None of those.
So none of those.
But I think it was one of those things that you could actually say again in a way that was meaningful to other people.
Mm.
And that kind of thing. So I said, okay, right, let's go chase this guy down. And we had a couple of meetings. First one in Joburg, and I was running late. Well, you were flipping late for starters. So we were going to meet for 11 o'clock. I think we met at 11:45. My flight was at 1:30. And then I'm leaving you at about 12:30 to get to the airport. Somewhere in Joburg. I'm thinking Rivonia area, somewhere in that area.
Was it a Tash's?
No, it was a smaller, cheaper place. I didn't want to spend money on you. That's
yeah.
So it was a very El Cheapo place.
I remember giving you the wrong directions.
Yes, I say, Darren, do you know how to get to the airport from here? Because I need to get there quickly now. He says, yeah, go down this road. Actually, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? So I leave him and I dash off. No, obviously miss my flight.
I remember you was like, how do I get to the airport? And I'm like, oh, from here, it's so easy. It's Rivonia. You're going to hook up onto Catherine Street, and then you get up onto the M2 briefly, and then onto the N12, and then you're like, no, not OR, Lanseria.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, same route. Hang a left and not a right. And then I gave you one off ramp too earlier. It was either Malebongwe or.
So I was like lost. So I missed my flight and I get back here and chat to the team here. And I said, okay, we might have something. The guy's a little bit scatterbrained, but we'll get somewhere.
Yeah.
And then you were coming down for some gig.
Yeah.
And we met at Hooters. I was like, we've been to Hooters before, but I'm like, really, I'm meeting this dude at Hooters? Well, one thing's for sure, no one else is going to see us, because it was important that everything was kept quite clandestine at that stage.
Yes, I remember that.
No one knew what we were doing. No one knew how it was going to pan out.
Why was it so important that it was so clandestine?
Because it affects people. Then people go, oh, that's the guy. Like, they start chasing him down. And then I don't get the true you. And then it was also important that, what if it wasn't you?
Mm.
Because I had other people. We had final three. And I still remember three, but I'm not going to tell you.
I think I can guess.
Who?
Did you have Rob on your radar?
No. Rob who? For Fear? No, there's only one comedian. You.
Oh, my other two comedian. But other two radio people.
Other two are radio people.
Really?
Who had been around for a long time.
Alex.
No. No, don't guess. I'm not going to tell you.
You'll never ever tell me.
No.
I've been here 10 years. The least you can do. No, give me. You didn't even give me a 10-year anniversary present.
I'll kiss you with tongue later. Like normal.
not in front of the operator.
Yeah, so we meet at Hooters. We have a beer and wings. And you raved about the wings. I remember that. And hardly drank the beer. I'm like, okay.
It was those boneless wings.
Yeah. And so I'm looking a lot more forward, and I'm going, I need to make a decision. And the other two guys had been on air for a long time. I kind of know their style. They're not going to change so much, and they're not going to be moldable. And that for me was quite important. Somebody who was going to say, I'm new, I'm fresh. And I knew we were going to have a tough first year. I knew that. I mean, and I told a lot of people, even when we made the announcement, the powers that be just basically said, you either make this work or get out.
I noticed that in that first year, you went from pitch black hair
to completely gray
in 1 year.
It was five months.
Yeah.
That first five months, you started in July, right?
Yeah.
What date?
11th.
11th of July. And I remember.
Hang on. 5th of July.
Fuck it. You can't even remember. Come on, damn it.
5th of July.
I even know when I started East Coast Radio. 3rd of July, 1997.
I started 2 days after you.
Yeah, and about 400 years later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were giving me training sessions and all of that.
Yeah, sitting there and kind of getting you guys because so
– Actually, let's do that. You're leaving a big bit out there because I don't know why you had gone with such a big – you gone with a risk with me and then you also went with a risk by not getting an industry producer. Yeah. You went with a complete unknown.
Well,
or someone who'd never actually
He was
produced.
A librarian. Or what was he? A writer?
Yeah. He wasn't even an unknown. He was, I mean, he was an accomplished writer, I suppose, or creator.
An artist.
But not a producer. That's not a different world altogether.
George Thorne.
Yeah.
Are you speaking to him?
No.
Why not? Yeah, you've broken up that friendship.
We were never friends. We arrived here.
What gunk?
We arrived here, and people thought because we're both new and we're both out that we'd been picked together or whatever.
Yeah, no.
I don't know. That's another process you have to go through about how you found him. But like,
no, at the same time, so I'd seen a couple of things and I had a couple of chats with George. And what I liked about him was the way he could write.
Mm.
So I knew I could give you the words.
Yeah.
And I knew your acting ability would make it come to life.
Yeah.
So I wasn't too stressed about what you could bring to the table, provided he worked like a dog.
Yeah.
You just had to perform it on the morning.
Yeah.
So it was, now when I think back at it, that's a hell of a, what the hell was I thinking? Anyway, so George, you, and then we had Natara.
Yeah. We had Seema.
Sorry, Seema.
Seema and Dumi.
And Dumi, yeah. So they were from the
and
old.
And JVB.
And JVB, of course.
So you had.
We had the backbone.
Yeah.
It was just the two people coming in.
And for my first 5 months, I didn't even do my live reads. My desk operator, Cameron did them.
And he sounded a lot like you, so it was very confusing.
It was very confusing.
You know, from a listener perspective, you know, you'd hear Darren go, and that was, I don't know, Sean Paul, you know, on East Coast Radio. And then Cameron would kick in. If you're heading down to West Street today, blah, blah, blah. And off it went. And it was like,
so the first five months was tough.
I remember because you were all over the place. You'd get the script and I mean, George, I'd give him a bit of credit here. He worked bloody hard to make sure that there was words in front of you.
Yes.
And we'd have these moments going through and after the show, sitting and unpacking and saying, okay, this is how we're going to go forward. So we had that kind of thing going and you'd try your hardest. I give you credit. You tried hard.
Mm.
You just weren't all there.
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, it was drinking and drugging.
Mm.
So this is like the bit that I wanted to let everyone be clear about. It's like when you met me, I was still drinking and drugging. And then even through the entire process, like I barely remember our first meeting because I was on a come down. I barely remember the Hooters one because, again, I was bubblous from the night before. Even my meeting with Kagiso in Joburg was a struggle. I could barely get through that one. And then I came down to Durban, a little bit older, but still thought I could carry on with my ways, which was drinking and drugging. So I thought I could do late nights and early mornings, and I could do that. And after 5 months, here's where I also made a mistake. And we sort of learned this together, is that I had made a massive mistake in thinking that radio was just an extension of all the other arts I had done. And
yes, I remember you saying that. I remember you saying that.
And I had done everything.
Yeah. How hard can this be?
Yeah. So, I mean, if I've done industrial theater to the mines in Clarksdorp, and I've done children's theater to high schools in the Eastern Cape where they will stab you if they're enjoying you. And I've done.
And you came out alive?
And I came out alive.
Where's the wounds?
I've done improv. I've done physical comedy. I've done MC comedy. I've done straight comedy.
That stupid thing on TV. What was the thing on TV?
Play TV.
Yeah, how did it go?
Fantastic.
I loved it. Well, no, man, how did that whole, do that skit? You know how when you say it's time's almost up, what? Come on, do it. Time's almost up. You got 5, 4.
I don't remember.
Double.
That's gone. So I arrive here and I'm like, and I think I can still be the jawler and live that old lifestyle. I quickly realized that this wasn't going to happen. So I'm fighting my own demons for 5, 6 months, right? And I'm thinking, I think I've bitten off more than I can chew. What is happening on your side with management here after 5 months of this is not working?
Well, I'm here every morning at 5, sitting through the show, trying to work through the show, running in, running out, running in, running out, saying, guys, you missed this bloody sponsorship. You done this. You got this wrong. You're doing that. Can we just move on a bit here? This thing is laboring. In that stage we were doing Grand Challenge, weren't we? Get the Grand Challenge right. For crying out loud, how hard can it be to ask 10 bloody questions? And everyone's pulling their hair out. And we had a number of meetings and you were like, yeah, okay, I need to know this. And you know what? You're very gentlemanly about the meetings. And I was oblivious to your alcohol and drug issues. I was oblivious to it. I must be honest. You know, when I look back at it, I think I saw the potential in you rather than the crap you were going through.
Yeah.
And for that, maybe in a way, I discarded it and said, we'll have to work through it. And then I remember November that year, I called Clay in because talking to you was just like talking to a brick wall. Nothing went in. And I said, we had signed a 3-year contract, right?
Mm.
And I said, Clay, this contract ends at the end of this month. This guy doesn't pull his boots up because I can't take this anymore. I'm getting hammered from my bosses.
Mm.
I'm getting hammered from the listeners and I'm working like a dog and this guy is just not pulling his weight. This something's got to give.
Mm.
Either he gives or I fire him or he starts to work. And I think she, for the first time, got the biggest fright of her life. And I think that's when she went to speak to you.
She had a word with me, but I remember you had a word with me at the McDonald's as well.
What did I say?
It's not what you said. It's just you didn't actually have to say anything. You just looked at me and said, what's going on? I said to you, I think I just said to you.
Nothing.
Yeah, something's got it.
Final question from me.
Yeah.
When you look back at your radio career, biggest moment and biggest regret?
Huh. Can I come back to you with that one?
Yeah, you can.
We'll do a pickup on that one.
Yeah, we'll do a pickup.
I'll do a pickup on that one because I don't want to mess this one up.
No, I think it's an important one. That's why I say, think about it. We should have put it in the prep. Damn it, where's the producers? Things have gone downhill.
This is the first time I'm doing this without a script.
Got to change things around here. Things have gone downhill.
All right, so stand by for what I feel was my greatest radio moment.
Will you give the answer to us live on air?
Yeah, I'll give you the answer. Can I give you the answer live on air?
So I have to hear it from my kids.
Yeah. Yes. I'll send them a WhatsApp.
Oh, that's fantastic. Nah,
Naveen Singh, ex-program manager of East Coast Radio, but it's a special place in our heart. There'll always be a little bit of a program manager.
Darren, from my side, it's 10 years. I'm just amazed and at what you've made your career. Because, yes, we all helping and guiding blocks. But at the end of the day, you put the hard work in and you made it. And you've made yourself a real legend in this market and in radio in South Africa. So congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Darren's Decade on East Coast Radio, KZN's number one hit music station. For more, hit ecr.co.za, #Darren's Decade.